Are you able to identify something that you personally are afraid of? You know, and do you understand why you're afraid of those? For instance, how many here are afraid of spiders? Yeah, you know, spiders don't bother me. I'll step on them if they're in the house, but they don't bother me, you know. And earlier today, there was a spider web that was going across here, and it just kind of, you know, hunting one time, I sat and watched I was amazed it was there because there was snow on the ground, but I watched this little spider in front of me building its web, and the wind had drifted. I don't know what kind of deer were around me because I was so intrigued by watching this spider, but spiders don't bother me. Now if they're the size of your hand, and I've encountered one like that, that one kind of scared me, you know, when I was in Haiti, a big one like that was in the one building, and we said we'd kill it, but every time it moved towards us, we just ran away. So, but it was a little bit bigger than that, than what I expected. Spiders don't bother me, you know, and they might bother you. We have a tendency to approach both the present and the future based on past experiences, and maybe you've had a past experience with spiders you don't like. Our past knowledge and experience tends to make us either hopeful or fearful of what you're presently experiencing or anticipating that you'll experience. You know, for example, I personally love dogs, but some people are a little bit hesitant or scared of dogs, and usually that's because of some incident in the past where they were either bitten as a child or encountered a bad experience with a dog, and so then you become really... I've only ever encountered one dog in my entire life that I wasn't sure who was going to live, me or the dog. But thankfully, we both got away okay with no problems. But you know, I have no problem with dogs. But if you've had a bad experience, you may be really nervous and fearful of them. You know, when I was a kid, I was 4 years old. It chased me for a while, but this bumblebee stung me right here, right between the eyes. And my eyes were swollen shut for a week. And then for years and years after that, if a bumblebee came buzzing around, I would just freeze. Other bees, it wasn't that way, but a bumblebee, because that experience just would send me into a moment of fear. We all have past experiences that either lead us towards one direction or another when we currently experience something else like that. So let's take a look at this morning's scripture. And see how some of those who were, when they're spying out the land of Israel, how they reacted and responded in the midst of the present situation. We remember there was the 12 spies, and it says, that night all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. And all the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land? Only let us fall by the sword. Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly, gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, they tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he'll lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. And then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the signs I have performed among them? The word of God for the people of God. You know, until you become aware of something like God that's stronger or more powerful than whatever it is you might fear, until you're able to put your trust in something bigger, you'll always be defeated by your fears. Until you're able to put your trust in something stronger or greater than what you fear, you'll always be defeated by your fears. And that passage of Numbers, it's the story of part of the story of the 12 spies. It starts back in chapter 13 of Numbers. And the 12 spies had spied out the land, and they come back with a mixed opinions. They say, oh, it's an exceedingly good land. And you remember, they're carrying the grapes that were so huge that they had to carry it on a stick between two people. And they're saying, oh, you know, so much potential, except, you know, that the cities all have huge walls, and they're fortified, and they have armies. And there's giants. There's giants in the land. And they reacted with fear, except for Joshua and Caleb, who had a different view. And they encouraged the people to go up and take the land. You know, I happened to realize this morning as I was thinking about this passage that so often we get scared of things we think that are big. There's giants in the land. And they were scared of something that was bigger than who they themselves were by themselves. And they were afraid to go up. Well, we're going to count. And you remember, fast forward a number of years farther on, and the nation of Israel comes up against Goliath, and the whole army is scared and fearful because there's a giant there. We have all kinds of things in our lives that are giants to us. Whether it's some illness or sickness or some situation or circumstance, there's all kinds of things that can seem huge to us, and we become fearful unless we look through the eyes of Joshua and Caleb that have a different view, that God is bigger than anything out there. I just had this VeggieTales song start going through my mind about God is bigger than the boogeyman. I don't know why, but that just popped in there, but if you don't know it, we'll teach it to you later. Carol will be able to play it for us on the piano. But, you know, so often we have giants that we just, I can't do this. You know, the 10 spies, they just looked at the things that they saw as big. They didn't look at things that they saw as bigger. Joshua and Caleb, they saw things from a faith perspective that God is so big. Think about the history of these people. You know, they were born and raised as slaves in Egypt. You know, they'd been slaves for a long time. The Egyptians had whipped them and beat them for them to work. The Egyptians forced them to kill their own children. And it's interesting that they still keep saying, oh, let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back to that type of sitting. You know, their perspective was this situation is worse than what that was. You know, but Joshua and Caleb, they had a different historical perspective. All of them, the 10 spies and Joshua and Caleb, all of Israel, you know, you think about what they had experienced when God first came back to speak to them. You know, their understanding of what they should have understood of who God is. You know, they witnessed the 10 plagues poured out upon Egypt, where God's hand was to protect them, and the Egyptians had the 10 plagues even up until the death of the firstborn, and their children lived. They witnessed Moses strike the Red Sea in the parting of the waters. They participated in walking between the walls of the waters of the Red Sea. They stood on the other side and watched the waters of the Red Sea consume and drown the Egyptians. You know, they were hungry. They cried out. God provided manna for them and quail. They were thirsty, and Moses struck the rock, and water came forth that would enough water for hundreds of thousands of people. The Amalekites attacked, and they watched God defeat the Amalekites as Moses would lift his hands in prayer. They saw the power of God revealed up upon the mountain when Moses was there. They saw the power of God descend and be in the tabernacle. They saw the pillar of fire. They saw the pillar of cloud that walked with them. They also saw the judgment that came when they would go after the golden calf. Yet in the midst of seeing all of that stuff, because of their fear, let's get somebody to lead us and we'll go back to Egypt. We'll go back to where they whip us and they kill our children. They didn't let the experiences, their knowledge, their understanding of what God does to make a change and a difference in their life. But Joshua and Caleb, on the other hand, you know, they let those same past revelations, the same experiences, recognize that the presence of God is with us. There's even one place where they make the statement about the giants, and we'll eat them like bread. You know, they believed the promise of God because eight times from the time that he appeared to them in Egypt through the wilderness, eight times God promised he would go with them and he would give them this land. All the signs and the wonders, and then the same person doing the signs and wonders, eight times he says, I'll go with you. I'll give you this land. They chose to put their faith in God, not in the fears. Their faith overcame their fears, and they chose to be obedient. So what happens, the difference between fear and the difference between faith? If you look in your bulletin, you'll find there's a little green insert that kind of, for me, it pictures the difference between fear and faith. Fear starts with a faltering faith. You know, you start having doubts in who God is and what God can do and his ability. And you start to only see things according to your ability. And when you start to see things according to your ability, then you begin to exaggerate the circumstances and the situations to be greater than who God himself is. You exaggerate them all. You start thinking, oh, these are so big. There's fortified walls and there's giants. And you don't think God can be fully effective. And then your attitude begins to change and you become negative and critical. Even in the passage we read, they wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb and Moses and Aaron. You know, you start to, because of your fear, you start to attack others around you. And then you become rebellious. Your actions, your attitudes say, I won't do what God would have us do. Now, for the spies, it resulted in 40 more years of wilderness wanderings. Now, think about it. You know, you had manna provided every morning, and you could have had some of those grapes. But instead, you got 40 more years of manna. Now, but when you express faith, that fully releases God's power and potential in you. Your faith releases God's power, potential in you. And then you have an awareness that God's power is more than adequate to take care of whatever situation you have. Because of that, that initiates in you usually a moment of prayer and praise. You know, because God's ability, we start to thank God that he is so big, so strong, that he's bigger than the boogeyman. You know, we begin to praise and sing glory to him. And we place our total trust and surrender into him. We say, God, you've got this. I'll let you take this. And then you allow yourself to be fully dedicated to him as holy, to be used according to him however he desires to want to do that within you. So for yourself, what circumstances, situations are you facing in your own life? What decisions do you need to make? Maybe it's an issue of health. Maybe it's an issue of provision. Maybe it's an issue of wisdom. If you develop faith enough to trust God in all of those things, can you remember what God has done for you? How his presence in your life has cared for you? Are you more focused on the size of the situation or the news you received, or are you focused upon the God that walks with you in the midst of this? Are you living in fear or are you walking in faith? You know, there's two voices that echo in your mind. One voice proclaims fear that the circumstances are large and overwhelming. Another voice proclaims that our God is a victorious, great, powerful God. What voice will you listen to? What choice will you make? Will you choose fear? Will you choose faith? Take some time and recall all that God has done for you. You know, in a moment, we're going to take communion. And, you know, Jesus said, as often as you do this, remember me. But it's more than just recalling his name. Sometimes, you know, we view it as, okay, yeah, I remember Jesus. I remember he died. And we don't realize that Jesus wants us to remember more. Remember more. He's very present in the act of communion. He wants us to remember everything we can about him and recall those things. Remember the love he has for you. As you receive the elements, remember his ability and his power to heal. Do you remember his power and ability to multiply resources? Can you remember his power and ability to change the way the whole world works, where he can walk on water, he can calm storms? Remember how he revealed himself to the two on Emmaus through the breaking of bread, just as we break bread in communion. Allow the communion experience to be a moment, not just something we do. It's not just a symbol we take on and we do, but allow the communion experience to be a moment where you engage the very presence of Jesus himself. I encourage you to take a moment and think in your own life. When Bartimaeus encountered Jesus on the road to Jerusalem, Jesus asked him a question. And come prepared that as you receive the body and blood of Christ, that come prepared to answer the question. As Jesus looked at Bartimaeus and simply said, "What do you want me to do for you?"